This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Tech Talk, Geek Squawk. The geeks are here, Jeff Sandu, and man, I'm Tish from culturepop.com. What do you have?
Yeah, so the OnePlus 2 smartphone is definitely one of the most highly anticipated smartphones to be launched in the world today. Everyone's crazy waiting for it. With their ridiculous invite-only purchase mechanism, getting your hands on one will be very tough. I just signed up for the invite. I'm number 20 million something, so...
You have to try to beat the Chinese.
So, yeah. However, in China, the OnePlus, they had a flash sale on their Chinese website, and anyone can buy the smartphone even without an invite. They had 30,000 units for this flash sale. Anyone want to guess how long did it take them to sell out?
I'll say something, 5 seconds.
Oh, no, not that fast.
Okay.
30,000, no. Don't think. But within a minute.
Pretty good. China.
Exactly. So the OnePlus starts at US $329, and it's deemed as the 2016 flagship killer, which I have a few problems with. One is because we're not quite sure what type of phones we will get in 2016. How can this be the 2016 flagship killer? And two, the phone isn't really a high spec phone at all. Yeah, granted that, they had to do that to keep the price down, but you can't call it the 2016 flagship killer because I think it's a bit too much, though.
Spec'd like a 2013.
It's spec'd like a 2013 smartphone on some adrenaline booster, processor, right? So it is value for money, that's for sure. But it's not a killer. I don't think it's a killer.
I'm really not sure about this OnePlus business model. I think it worked for the first phone because it was a novelty.
Yeah.
But they're not Cartier, they're not Gucci. It's not an aspirational brand. They market themselves on being cheaper than the competition. So you would expect them to have mass production and for people to be able to buy it. So I think people are going to get fed up with this idea of getting an invite to the phone, especially when there are so many other
choices
and manufacturers in China who are coming out with really good phones very, very cheaply. So I really don't see what's going to happen with this.
Yeah, so time will tell, I guess. When Maxis did announce that they are going to have something special for their users to get an invite to buy the phone. So maybe by then we will be able to get our hands on
it. It's all marketing, isn't it?
It's all marketing. Yeah. Mm. Now, a few weeks ago, we mentioned how there was this huge group on Facebook demanding Astro to show the International Dota 2 Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a week ago and currently ongoing on Astro now, they have bowed down to the huge amount of requests. Ooh. Yeah, and jumping on this is TGV. They announced that they will open up two halls in its One Utama branch to show the grand finals, which is happening on the 9th of August from 1 to 8 a.m. That's Saturday midnight onwards. The tickets are priced at 25 ringgit each. And guess what? It was sold out within minutes. And TGV.
Clever.
Yeah, clever.
Very clever.
And TGV decided to open up more halls than One Utama. I think now they have like 6 or 7 halls in One Utama. Because this is, again, past midnight. It's from 1 a.m. to 8 a.m. And people are going for it. So the Malaysia's Dota team, Team Fnatic, they, however, lost out in the very early stages. And why is this such a crazy competition? It's the prize money. Unlike any other competitions, the prize pool is funded by the sales of in-game items on Steam, which is the platform that the game is run, ticket sales and donations and all the other stuff in it. The amount is a whopping $18 million at the moment.
And that comes in very handy.
Very handy,
but the Malaysians are out anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Frida's a bit more polite than I am. I have to say I don't care. I'm not a gamer. Don't care.
Would you want to donate, though?
What? No, I'd like to take money from the pool. Donating, not so much.
Well, if you don't want to watch it on the big screen, you can watch it on Astro. It's on channel 808. It's a special channel that is meant for, these esports now.
So. Yeah, my last comment.
Speaking of news that we spoke about recently, remember that Lexus hoverboard story? Well, it's finally here. It works all right, but it isn't the most practical thing, and it isn't for sale. It's actually a prop for a commercial, and it's part of the Lexus Amazing in Motion series of creative ads. They had one that was done in KL about, you know, the man in the running suit with the light bulbs. They did one that was shot in KL, so that was really good. Lexus, however, did not build this hoverboard. Their advertising agency actually got in touch with a group of scientists in Hamburg, Germany, who had been, you know, working on this maglev technology, and they had them shift their focus onto creating a hoverboard.
Germans.
The power of advertising, and Germans as well. Yeah. Now, Lexus then built the entire skate park that has magnets underneath the surface. So the hoverboard can't really be used anywhere. You know, it's a bit limited in that sense.
It's a good fun.
Really good fun.
Yeah, really good fun. Also, the problem with this hoverboard, it runs on liquid nitrogen-cooled superconductors and magnets. They have to constantly be cooled down using liquid nitrogen. And after about 15 minutes of using it, it needs to be cooled down again, which will take 15 minutes. Mm. So, you know, it is very limited. Mm. Although they might have somewhat made this hoverboard dream come true, it isn't the sort of the Marty McFly experience in 2015 Back in the Future. So, you know, still a long more way before we actually get to see like a real hoverboard. But, you know, this is a step in hopefully the right direction, right?
It is indeed. I think this kind of maglev technology is something we haven't really seen enough of. I mean, you know, we've had bullet trains Japan's had bullet trains for decades.
Yeah.
But you don't see this technology being used. It's kind of frictionless motion.
Yeah.
I'd love to see way more of this. And hoverboards, even get rid of those horrible Heelys that kids have, give them like floating maglev shoes.
Ooh, they'll be
awesome.
Good.
Well, obviously, children and liquid nitrogen, not a great mix, so we probably have to find a different combination for that. But yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. GeekTunes, Brighton's twosome, they're called Ears. It's an upcoming indie synth pop band that's slowly getting quite a bit of traction. Listen to this. This is Ears with No Wonder. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.